Krishna. We're on a bit of a tight schedule this evening. Promptly at 5:45 we'll start the bathing ceremony, so it's not a lot of time for discussion, but we will try to touch on a few points. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschate Deshtarine Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So as Subhas Prabhu pointed out, not that we needed to be reminded, but it is Snanayatra, which is one of the major festivals of the year. These festivals of the Lord constitute the life and soul of devotees. We live for these festivals. Why? Because it gives us an opportunity to intensify our devotional feelings for the Lord. It gives us a chance to expand our service attitude towards the Lord. As I said, there's not a lot of time, so I'm going to touch on two main points tonight. The first point is the nature of the deity, Archa Avatar. Because in the West, most people are from the Judeo-Christian tradition, and they don't know anything at all about deity worship. So, at best, they think it's strange. And at worst, you can imagine. And even those who are from cultures that are supposed to understand deity worship, over time it has become so misunderstood, neglected, that it's just some meaningless ritual that they perform. I'll give you an example. I travel quite a bit speaking Krishna consciousness, and I met a young man in London once. I'd like to ask devotees how they joined the movement. So he said they had been born in an Indian family in England, and you know, for the early part of his life he was not too interested, but when he got in his late teens, he started taking an interest in what is this, you know, Hinduism or Vedic tradition. So he would ask his parents a lot of questions, and they sent him to all the local temples to talk to the priests there. And he was never impressed. He came to one temple where one priest finally agreed to see him and discuss all these things. But he said, "Well, I'm finished with the puja." So he said the man came off the altar, came outside to see him, and the first thing he did was light a cigarette. Then he said, "That's it. I'm not talking to this guy." So a lot of times it becomes just, again, meaningless ritual. You're on the altar ringing bells and waving incense, then you come up and light a cigarette. So so it's in order, before we get into bathing the deity form of the Lord, for us to discuss a little bit about what is the importance of the deity, how should we view the deity, how should we think about the deity. As usual, Srila Prabhupada has answered all these questions in advance. Before he passed from this planet, he reminded us repeatedly that everything that we need to know is in his books. So tonight, there are many places where you discuss this point, but I selected one passage from the third canto, 25th chapter. This is Lord Kapiladev discussing or speaking with his mother Devahuti. So I'm going to read the verse and the translation and purport from Srila Prabhupada, give us a little insight into the nature of the deity. So Lord Kapiladev says, Pashyanti te me rucharanyam vasanta prasanna praktravana lochanani Rupani Divyani Varshapadani Sakam Vacham Sprihaniyam Vadanti. Srila Prabhupada translates as follows. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form, with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. So this is Lord Kapiladev, incarnation of Krishna, discussing with his mother. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice purport. There's a few paragraphs. Please try to listen attentively. Mayavadis and atheists accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols, but devotees do not worship idols. And again, we need to hear this repeatedly, because many of us are coming from traditions where we're not used to deity worship, or we come from traditions where it becomes just meaningless ritual. So we have to listen to these points carefully. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his Archa incarnation. Archa refers to the form which we can worship in our present condition. Actually, in our present state, it is not possible to see God in his spiritual form because our material eyes and senses cannot conceive of a spiritual form. We cannot even see the spiritual form of the individual soul. When a man dies, we cannot see how the spiritual form leaves the body. That is a defect of our material senses. In order to be seen by our material senses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a favorable form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha, sometimes called the Archa Incarnation, is not different from him. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts various incarnations, he takes on forms made out of matter, clay, wood, metal, and jewels. I think everything here is pretty clear. We could just move on to the next paragraph. The deity is not an idol. Even if it's made of clay, wood, jewels, metal, it is not an idol. It is the Lord himself directly. There are many Shastric injunctions which give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. If God is all-pervading, then he is also in the material elements. There is no doubt about it, but the atheists think otherwise. Although they preach that everything is God, when they go to the temple and see the form of the Lord, they deny that he is God. Or in the West, they tell you God is everywhere. They can see God at the beach or in the mountain, but they don't think God is in the temple. Same thing. According to their own theory, everything is God. Then why is the deity not God? Actually, they have no conception of God. The devotee's vision, however, is different. Their vision is smeared with love of God. As soon as they see the Lord in his different forms, the devotees become saturated with love, for they do not find any difference between the Lord and his form in the temple, as do the atheists. So we want to be counted amongst the devotees, not the atheists, okay? The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual. And the decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is a duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations which are followed in temples of Vishnu. And devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form because all of the deities are benevolent. The devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances, the deity also gives answers. Yeah, there are many stories like that, even within our movement. Prabhupada said, just go on chanting Hare Krishna, purify your consciousness, and the day will come when you will stand in front of Rukmini Dwarkadi, still speak to you. They're waiting for that day. We're not so anxious, but they're waiting. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotee through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity and how they speak with him in devotional service. So that's the first point I wanted to make. Even if we're not so advanced that we're actually seeing the deity as Krishna, we should accept it at least theoretically. Like Prabhupada said, when one reads the Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically accept that Krishna is God, and then you can begin to get something out of the Gita. If you read the Gita like it's just another book, then you're not going to get very far. But if you accept at least theoretically that Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he claims himself, then we can begin to enter into the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. So similarly, in worshipping the deity, we may not have this realization immediately that the forms that are going to come off the altar right now, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may not have that realization. But if we accept it, at least theoretically, and act accordingly, in other words, when you come into the temple, offer obeisances as if you're dealing with the Supreme Person. As the injunction in the Shastra says, when you come to the temple, try to bring something, a flower, a fruit, some offering for the Lord. Just as if some important person were coming to your house or you were going to see some important person of this world, like Obama or somebody like that, you would take some little presentation. It's protocol. When somebody comes to visit the President of the United States, they bring something. And most of the times, the President is not allowed to keep it. Only something under a certain value. But it's protocol. So even if we don't have the heartfelt understanding that this is Krishna, this is God, at least follow the protocol. When you come into the temple, bow down. When you come to see the deities, bring a little offering. Even if Krishna says, patram pushyam palam toyam, you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be wealthy. Bring a flower, fruit, leaf, some water. Whatever you can afford, that's easy for you. Does not mean that if you're making crores and lakhs of rupee every year, then you also bring just a little fruit and flour. No. If you're making lakhs and crores of rupees, then you should offer Krishna a whole factory. Pay for the whole Ratha Yatra. According to your means, we should serve the deity. So, in the last paragraph I read, Prabhupada mentioned that there are different rules and procedures for worshipping the deity. So one of those rules is, a whole list of rules is given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we know as the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada gave us. And in there, Rupa Goswami gives 64 items of worship. So one of those items of worship is to observe the festivals of the Lord. So it's very, very important when we have these festivals, the Snan Yatra, Rath Yatra, Janmashtami, it is extremely important as devotees not to miss these festivals. Not to miss these festivals. Be there, be present. Show the Lord that you're standing up for Him. Again, the Lord doesn't need anything from us. Krishna doesn't need anything. It's not that Krishna is a poor man and if somebody doesn't bring another gallon of milk, he's going to starve. No. It's not like that. It's an opportunity for us, again, to reawaken our attachment for Krishna, which is what we're all searching for. Attachment is natural. We have children, we immediately are attached. And the children become attached to the parents, at least up to some point, right? And then after that, it's like, get out of my way. You're blocking me. I need to establish my independence. But we don't want to be independent from Krishna. We want to show our dependence on God. We want to show our dependence on Krishna. That is intelligent. That is intelligent. No one is actually independent. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. We, especially in the West, but even more and more now, even in Eastern cultures, everybody wants to establish their independence and show that they can do it. Nobody wants to act cooperatively anymore. But this is a disease of modern society. An actually intelligent person realizes that, no, I am dependent on the Supreme Lord for everything. For everything. We praise, we glorify the scientists because they give us bigger and bigger screen televisions, you know, and thinner and thinner. But it's the same thing, just repackaged. The same thing. Nothing to get excited about. But we get excited about that. We don't get excited about the festivals of the Lord anymore. And we think this is a botheration. All right, okay, the highways are closed this weekend, so I'll go. All right, no, nothing else to do. Can't get to the beach anyway. But no, we should be eager. Like now, tonight is the Snan Yatra. We should be very eager to see Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra come off the altar. Jagannath, as the word signifies, Jagat means what? Universe. Universe. And Nath? So when you put Jagat and Nath together, you get Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. Like Prabhupada reminded those pandas in Bhubaneswar when he had a meeting with them. They were, and still don't, want Westerners to come into the temple in Puri. So Prabhupada had to remind him, he's not Purinath, he's Jagannath. He's Lord of the universe, which means everybody is qualified to come and see the Lord. Why are you keeping other people out? That they're not Indian or they're not Hindu or whatever. This is a crippled understanding. Jagannath, he's Lord of the universe. Everybody is his servant. So why should one batch of servants be allowed and another batch not allowed? So still though, in India there's some enthusiasm for these festivals. I know I was just speaking to Yugala Kishori this morning, Mataji. She was in India recently. She went to see the Snan Yatra in Puri. And it was so enthusiastic. There's like a darshan mandap where they bring the turban of the Lord so that the pilgrims can touch the turban. So she was very lucky. She was right up front, got to touch the turban. But then the crush came from behind. Enthusiasm. But they were so enthusiastic that she fainted. Her husband had to literally, Raghava Chaitanya Prabhu, is he here? He had to literally fight to get her out of there. And sure enough, during the Ratha Yatra ceremony itself, there was a stampede and several people died. So in India, there's still some enthusiasm for observing the festivals of the Lord. I don't think anybody's going to die here in LA. So don't be shy about coming, but we should have enthusiasm. for seeing the Lord, seeing the form of the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, and as was indicated here, speaking to the Lord. The Lord is waiting for us to reveal our minds to Him. He knows already what's in our mind and our hearts, but He wants to hear from you. And as Subhas suggested, there is a little box going to be put on the altar after Lord Jagannath leaves. This period between the Snanayatra and the Ratyatra is called Anavasara. And it's also called Navayovanam, because during this period, the deity is renovated, or to put it in plain English, they're painted. They're repainted, so they look fresh and youthful for the Ratyatra. So, when Lord Chaitanya was here, and Lord Chaitanya is God Himself in the role of a devotee, so He showed us, from the very beginning, how to relate to Lord Jagannath. Very first time He went to Puri, He went into the temple, He saw Lord Jagannath, He fainted. So much so that they thought He was dead. They detected just a slight breathing and they took Him to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to relate to this Jagannath deity. It's Krishna Himself. First time He saw Him painted. And so during this period, between the Snanayatra and the Ratyatra, when the Lord cannot be seen, Lord Chaitanya was completely morose, drowning an ocean of separation from the Lord. Now we cannot imitate this highest level of Mahabhava, but we should meditate on how fortunate we are to see the forms of the Lord in the temple. This is extreme good fortune and we should take advantage of it. So there's one more point I wanted to touch on, that these festivals are very important. In the Nectar of Devotion, there's a chapter entitled Further Aspects of Transcendental Service, and one of the items of transcendental service is observing festivals celebrating the Lord's activities. So I just want to read that. It's a short paragraph. So, there Prabhupada says that in the Bhavishya Purana, there is a statement about observing different ceremonies celebrating the Lord's appearance, birthday, and other transcendental activities. It is said, quote, "My Lord Janardhan, Krishna, please let us know the date when your mother Devi gave birth to you. If you kindly inform us about this, then we shall observe a great celebration on this date. O Killer Keshi, we are souls 100% surrendered unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies." End of quote. This statement of the Bhavishya Purana gives evidence that by observing different functions in relationship with the Lord, one is sure to become pleasing to the Lord. So again, these festivals are not ordinary. We should count our good fortune, and we should be ready as devotees to counter the arguments of the non-devotees and the atheists that we're worshipping idols. Prabhupada used to say, they call us idol worshippers. They're the real idol worshippers. They have these statues, so many statues in parks, and once a year in India, he was speaking about in India, they come and they take a brush and they rub off all the crow's stool. You know, because the crows have been passing stool on these statues all year long. They come once a year, they rub off all the stool with the brush, they have some big ceremony, you know, to honor whoever the person is, and then again, 364 days they neglect it. So that's idol worship, but we're not like that. The form of the Lord in the temple is established strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra. And following the rules of the Shastra, we worship the Lord in the temple, and the Lord reciprocates. Because again, we don't have eyes to see the soul. We're seeing each other as material bodies. We're not seeing the soul that's in the heart of everyone here. And as Prabhupada stated in his purport, if that soul were to leave right now, if somebody was to fall over dead, means the soul left the body. You don't see the soul leaving. All you see is the body lying there. So we cannot see spirit with these material eyes. And therefore, the Lord kindly agrees to appear in these forms. Rukmini Dwarkadish and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shishri Gornitai, so that we can worship them. We can give our service, we can give our hearts to them for our own benefit. By doing this, gradually we revive our original love for God and qualify ourselves to go back to the spiritual world, liberation. If we don't do that, then we've wasted a great opportunity. In that same conversation between Kapila Dev and his mother, Devahuti, at the end, Devahuti was lamenting. She said a very nice verse that kind of stuck in my consciousness. She said, Soham Bhagavato Nunam Banchita Maya Duram Yatvam Vibuktanam Prapya Namu Mukshaya Bandhana. She says, "Oh my Lord, although And she said, no, my Lord, I surely have been subtly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because even though I had your association, which gives liberation, I did not try for it. So Prabhupada says in the purport there, he says that the first good fortune is the human form of life. So to take birth as a human being, because we know there's so many other forms of life, 8,400,000 to be exact, according to the Vedas. So we're very fortunate to right now be in this human form of life, which means we have the intelligence to inquire as to what this whole creation is all about. Not just to want to know when the 405 is going to reopen. No, we have the intelligence to inquire what this whole universal creation is all about. Then Prabhupada said the second good fortune or the second opportunity is to take birth in a devotee family wherein this transcendental knowledge is discussed, is available. He said that is extremely rare. That is extremely rare. Take birth as a human being is already rare. To take birth in a devotee family and hear transcendental philosophy, that is extremely rare. So we're very fortunate that we've appeared in human form, we've come in contact with this transcendental knowledge, and by good fortune again, we're here to participate in these wonderful festivals, honoring the Lord, worshiping the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord, hearing about, festival means an opportunity for increased hearing, chanting, and we know we have this tongue with which we can vibrate so much nonsense, or we can chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. With the same tongue we can eat so much nonsense, or we can eat Krishna Prasadam. Krishna Prasadam is available here at the temple, or you can offer at home according to your own tradition. It's not that everybody has to be a good South Indian cook or North Indian. No. When I was in San Diego, I used to go to the temple in little preaching center they had in Tijuana across the border in Mexico. And so I was going every week regularly, and they were struggling to make Indian food, and it didn't come out good. So finally I said, look, you're in Mexico. Why don't you make Mexican food? Why are you struggling to try to make Indian food? It's not that Krishna only eats, you know, puris and certain kind of sabji. No. Krishna, according to your means, you make nice vegetarian food from your own tradition. So they agreed, and after that it was wonderful. Every week I'd go, they would make chilies rellenos or something. Very wonderful prasadam. So according to your means, and according to your own background, you make something and offer it to the Lord. And the Lord will be pleased to accept it if it's done with love and devotion. Can't just be done offhandedly or... No. We should put our hearts and souls into everything that we do in relation to Krishna. And the benefit is that we will qualify ourselves to go back to the kingdom of God. Even if we're not originally born in a devotee family, for instance, our Bhagavad Kripa Prabhu just came back from Mexico. His mother passed away. So she was not born in a devotee family, but she gave birth to two devotees. His brother was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he is a disciple of Jayapataka Maharaj. So he heard that his mother was not doing well. She was 85 years old. So, I don't know, it was like a week or 10 days ago, he went to visit, and he just happened to be there when she passed away. So he was chanting to her. So this is the benefit of coming in contact with the Krishna Consciousness Movement. She was not born a devotee, but she gave birth to two sons who were devotees. The older brother passed away. And so the younger boy now, Bhagavad Kripa, not so young anymore, getting up there, he just happened to be present when she passed away. So it's a very good indication that she's on her way back to Godhead. But we can all chant just in case, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the benefit again of having the association of devotees. We can help each other to gradually make progress in spiritual life, gradually qualify ourselves to go back to the kingdom of God. And this is one of the best ways to do it. Come together congregationally to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, to hear the glories of the Lord. And in this particular festival, very rare opportunity to actually bathe the Lord. As you know, normally only those who are twice initiated, the brahmanas, can go on the altar and bathe the Lord. But this particular festival, Snanayatra, is so wonderful. The Lord comes off the altar and gives everybody in a direct association a chance to do some direct service, to obey the Lord directly. And then in a couple of weeks, he takes the show on the road. He goes out and gives everybody in the public a chance to see him. And this is a wonderful opportunity. I was at a Rath Yashar festival in Potomac, in the D.C., Washington, D.C., was staying at the Potomac Temple. And we were doing the festival there on the Washington Mall. And this man, older man, he came up and he said, "What is this all about? I've never seen you guys before. But I kind of like the vibration here." He said, "What is it about?" I said, "Well, this is the Hare Krishna movement. We're doing our..." He said, Hare Christian? I said, "No, Hare Krishna." He said, "Hare Christian?" So I didn't correct him anymore. I said, "Yeah, this is Hare Christianity." And it is a fact. If you're raised in the Christian tradition, it says the highest achievement is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So this is part of our tradition here. We want to give Jagannath our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul. And we want to love everybody just as we love ourselves. Okay? Thank you very much. And now the Lord will be coming off in a few minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Bol.